Are you wearing an article of clothing from Forever 21?
Have you ever thought about who makes these clothes? Hello, and welcome back to this week's edition of Through the Eyes of Immigrants. My name's David.
And I'm Zach.
And I'm Aiden. And today we are discussing sweatshops and the American dream in the documentary Made in LA, which is directed by Almunda Carracero. Made in LA, an Emmy Award-winning documentary from 2007, follows the lives of three Latina immigrants, Lupe, Maria, and Mara. Over the course of 3 years, they work alongside a group of garment workers, filing a lawsuit against Forever 21's sweatshop conditions and start a national protest. The film highlights the everyday struggles that immigrants face working in the U.S. through the poor conditions and immoral practices. Throughout the film, the workers face many challenges that will help them see the importance of unity. Critics called the documentary inspiring, valuable, excellent, and moving.
I mean, who hasn't shopped at Forever 21? They're in every mall and are one of the most popular retail stores for teenagers today. It was established in 1984 with its first shop built in Los Angeles, and it's been a powerhouse in the fashion industry ever since. According to the New Yorker, Forever 21 was built from a family of immigrants, so I would assume that the CEO would have some sort of sympathy towards the conditions of the workers themselves. The lawsuit went back and forth between the two because Forever 21 argued that they were not responsible for the garment workers as they claimed they are just a retailer. After losing the first lawsuit, the garment workers appealed the case. The group not only worked out an agreement with Forever 21, but also won the lawsuit. Forever 21 CEO stated that Forever 21 gives hope to people who come here with almost nothing. I found this quote very ironic because, first off, the immigrant workers don't have hope within the documentary.
Here, we have a quote from Christina Chung, who is an employee from the Garments Worker Center, and she explains how Forever 21 has all the power.
Companies like Forever 21 routinely say, oh, we're just a retailer. So that means all we do is sell clothes to the public. And how could we possibly know what happens a few layers down in these factories where our clothes are made? And what we said was that Forever 21 systematically demanded and perpetuated sweatshop conditions. They dictate how much they're going to pay, the quantity, and the turnaround time. And we believe that the only way that those garments can be produced is by exploiting workers.
This documentary does a great job at explaining the modern-day use of sweatshops, specifically in Los Angeles. A sweatshop is where workers work under terrible, dangerous conditions, and they receive very little money for it. And at one point in the documentary, Lupe, she visits Ellis Island in New York City. And at the museum at the base of the Statue of Liberty, she sees pictures of past sweatshops and people working in dangerous areas. And she's pretty upset about this, as you can imagine, since she's doing the same protesting that they've been doing 100 years ago. And personally, I really think the juxtaposition of the past labor struggle and the present sweatshops highlight that it's still a critical issue in this country. I'm curious whether you two believe this documentary has portrayed immigrants working in the U.S. realistically or not.
On a previous podcast, we talked about the memoir A Cup of Water Under My Bed by Daisy Hernandez. And do you guys remember that in that memoir, the mother of Daisy Hernandez worked in a sweatshop as well?
Yeah, definitely, like in New Jersey or something, right?
Yeah, in the memoir, Daisy Hernandez's mother takes home work after working 12-plus hours a day, similar to the women in this documentary.
Yeah, in a previous podcast, I remember we talked about a book called Caramelo by Sandra Cisneros. And within the book, it highlighted a character named Inocencio. And he was a hard worker and he built furniture with his hands. And it just reminds me of how immigrants usually tend to do the jobs no one else wants to do.
Yeah, especially when they enter our American society, they start off at the bottom of the totem pole. In the tale that they work extremely hard and are dedicated to their job, they'll move up in society. But unfortunately, from watching this documentary, these immigrants are working in the same factories for years on end without any benefits.
It's interesting because these things happen all over the United States. In my hometown, immigrants work in the orchards and pack houses, which are jobs that most Anglo people in my town don't want.
Yeah, those are all really good points. But now let's look from the point of view of Forever 21, a retailer that uses sweatshops. Why do you think they justify these conditions?
Well, coming from an economic standpoint, if they could have a cheaper labor cost and cheaper production, they could sell the product at a cheaper price, which would in turn make the customer more happy, and they'll have a bigger profit.
As a previous customer of Forever 21, I know when I'm buying an $8 shirt, I don't think about the people and how they're making it so cheap. I think about what else I can buy with the extra money that I'm not spending.
Another point that these big companies have with the immigrants, they say if the immigrants don't like it, they are willing to leave. But unfortunately, that's not true. Since the immigrants, they don't have any other options to work anywhere else. And if they do stand up for themselves, they'll get fired and another immigrant will be ready to take their place.
The Forever 21 campaign is really groundbreaking. No court has ever said that the systematic use of sweatshops by someone who calls itself a retailer is a violation of the law. That is a new theory. And if we can win that, then that will have an incredible impact on the industry as a whole.
That was Christina Chung again. And I was wondering if this documentary and campaign against Forever 21 has made any positive impact for Latino immigrants. What are your guys' thoughts?
After watching this documentary, if I were to put myself in an immigrant's point of view, I would second guess myself, because after watching this, I wouldn't really know if I would want to come here to America and try to make a living here working out with these conditions as they are so inhumane.
Yeah, but I think it's hard because these documentaries aren't put on TV. There are documentaries that you have to search for, and whether it's right or wrong, people in Mexico and in Central America are watching the glamorous movies about how amazing the U.S. is with perfect buildings and perfect jobs and perfect lives and houses. They're not exposed to the reality of what an immigrant's life is like in the United States.
Yeah. One of the things the documentary doesn't really hit on is that a lot of jobs in Los Angeles have actually left overseas to a lot of Asian countries. And that could be a result of the documentary highlighting the inhumane practices that a lot of companies have for the immigrants.
In 1931, James Truslow Adams published The Epic of America, where he said that the American dream is the dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for every man, with opportunity for each according to his ability or achievement. More recently, however, the definition of the American dream is about property and economic security. Made in LA follows three women over the course of 3 years and shows the progress they made as an industry, but also as individuals. At the end of the movie, Maria is working 8-hour days and she's separated from her controlling husband. Mara is learning English and studying to be a citizen, and Lupe was hired by the Garment Worker Center and is able to travel through her job. Even though the documentary doesn't explicitly talk about the American dream, how do these women's struggles highlight the immigrant struggle to achieve the American dream to you two?
So I think one of the biggest scenes for me in this movie was when Lupe was talking about the pyramid. So this was a metaphor for Forever 21 being at the top of the pyramid, while the middle section of the pyramid was all the contractors and middlemen, while the bottom was all the immigrants. And Lupe basically said, united the strong. And if the immigrants stood up together, they could dismantle this pyramid. And she demonstrated that by taking out the bottom base, which proves that they are strong as a group.
Going off what you just said, it brings me back to the scene in the documentary where Lupe is at the community center and she's speaking to all of her coworkers, explaining to them that they all need to unify and come together, and that if they do that, there's enough of them that eventually that there'll be the solution for their goal of having the American dream.
So would you guys say that part of the American dream is unity?
Yeah, I agree with that statement. Especially throughout American history, you see a lot of time and events when people came together to fight injustice and for the common right. And from this documentary, it seems that the idea of unity is a major theme. Personally, after watching this documentary, I've learned so much about immigrants fighting for their rights against big companies such as Forever 21.
So next time you buy an $8 shirt from Forever 21 or any other similar retail store, instead of thinking about the great deal you got, think about the women who made that deal possible.
And remember to tune in next week for our new edition of Through the Eyes of Immigrants. Thank you.